Good morning, KINS. It's with Sean Riab, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I thought I was feeling that much better today. But I suppose if you trip at the starting line, then that kind of eliminates the mystery of whether or not you're going to finish first.
That's right. It sets expectations at an appropriate level.
So now all we have to do is come from behind.
That's right. We just have to get to the finish
line. Make sure we're close enough to see where the behind is.
Yeah, I could just talk to myself for now, and you can just...
Well, good. Relax. That'll probably be how this show will improve. Are you ready for the question, Mr. Robertson, on this Friday?
Yes, I am.
It's not even the 13th.
It is not.
It's a weird day, though. I don't know if everybody was listening to the Fox guys. It's a federal holiday for everybody except for the post office.
Really?
They're working today and taking tomorrow off. So the banks are closed.
Right.
So whatever you get, you can't do anything with. And if you get something, you won't get anything when they're closed. So it's just kind of...
Confounding.
Confusing for this simple mind on this simple Friday.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if I can extend that. Why is a formal suit for men called a tuxedo?
Wow. I have no idea.
Another piercing question this morning, huh?
That is. Never thought about that.
I figured it might have something to do with penguins. But I'm probably way wrong. In the 19th century, the accepted formal dress for a man was a suit with long swallowtails. Oh, that's what they're called. Okay. But one evening in 1886, young Griswold, who would name their kid, Griswold Lorillard, the heir to a tobacco fortune, shocked his country club by arriving in a dinner jacket without tails. His fashion statement caught on, and the suit took on the name of the place Lorillard introduced it.
Really?
Tuxedo Park in New York.
Wow. That is interesting.
That sounds much better than wearing penguin pelt.
That is better.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of penguins.
Yeah.
Do you think that he's related to Clark Griswold?
You know, the way things have been going, I'll say yes.
It's the only time I've heard of Griswold, but yeah.
Yeah. I went to school with a Griswold, so I know there's a local family, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But not as a first name.
Mm.
Kind of intriguing. Huh. So you guys had a little action earlier this week, huh?
It's been a busy, busy week.
Tied to time change or the weather change or just
there
flat weird?
Just weird anomalies. I think people are driving fast.
No.
No, I know.
Say it ain't so. Not with those bulb outs. Those are supposed to slow everybody down and make everything very, very safe.
They are. That is what they're designed for.
Ain't working out, huh? So far.
To be fair, the whole project isn't completed yet, as I understand.
No, we can have multiples of what we have now.
Yeah, and the lanes need a shift and make it all work together. But I don't think the bulb outs had anything to do with these particular incidents.
So back it down is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll back it down.
Oh no, you can do.
Oh yeah, you let me go out as far as I feel comfortable on that limb, huh? Yeah. What a buddy.
But as far as the accidents or the incidents, no commonalities beside people not following traffic laws or stopping at stoplights and
just the rolling through stuff?
Yeah.
Or what they used to call it, California stop?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of a giggle that a lot of us have. It's not a law. It's a mere suggestion. Is that what's going on? People are just either not slowing down at all or not slowing down enough?
Well, in these incidents, they didn't slow down at all. They try to beat the light, and then another one, people are just speeding. And then, you know, when you're going that fast in these more residential or slower areas, people can't react quickly enough. So they assume there's nothing coming, and the next thing they're getting...
Nailed, yeah.
T-boned and having a significant impact because, the speeds are crazy.
Yeah, there are a lot of the signal lights, and I know you're not really in the enforcement or the engineering part of this program for the street lights, but I think it's, is it 4th and 5th? And then streets in between. The light, the walk signal will activate a couple seconds before the light changes, so that you're actually you. There's that delay period that's built into it, just to double. I don't know. I never, you know, if I'm the first one in line, I never just shoot out when the color changes.
Yeah,
I'm always waiting because you know there are those people that just kind of blow through, or they're not paying attention.
Yeah,
I think as much as it's probably looking at their cell phones.
Yeah,
or video, you know, the onboard stuff.
Right.
When you folks are arriving on scene, can you tell if what's going on, or will folks start talking to you before reports are made?
Sometimes it's not common for that to happen because usually they're injured or they're still in the vehicle. If it's often a rollover, they'll try to crawl out if they can.
Is that wise?
No, not always.
Because, I mean, if there's a flame involved,
But if the vehicle's upside down, you know, unless you're secured by the seatbelt, you're going to want to get out of that situation.
Well, I think we hear from the highway patrol folks that a lot of times that there'll be an accident or situation on this. They'll get the car over on the side. Somebody steps out and here comes some clown not paying any attention.
Yes.
And additional damages occur.
Yeah.
So I was thinking crawling out from a car that's upside down in the middle of a road.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could be in for another world of hurt.
Yeah, exactly. People, again, sometimes don't pay attention. And the worst is on the highway. I mean,
because of the speed?
Yeah. Just when we respond on the highway, we go with more than one vehicle. So usually it's two apparatus and then one of our duty vehicles just so we can provide the traffic buffer. We had an incident a couple weeks ago on the highway near Fields Landing, and I was the third vehicle upstream, and I almost got hit three times. I had to physically move my vehicle at one point because somebody
really?
Was coming right at me. It was.
So were you before the King Salmon?
It was right off, right south of it, towards CR. Yeah.
Jeez. It was. So not like they didn't have any view shed.
Nope.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Sean Robertson, and now a fan of Tuxedo Park.
Yes.
Tuxedo Park. That was emphatic, wasn't it?
Tuxedo Park.
Hey, you guys have had a couple fire responses this week in addition to just the car crashes and the medical aids, right?
Yeah, that's pretty typical, the change of season and the weather.
Heaters turning on kind of thing?
Exactly.
Are there that many floor heaters or wall heaters anymore?
There still are quite a few out there, just because there are a lot of older homes in Eureka.
The historicals?
Yeah. But even some of the places that just haven't been updated in years. The fires we had weren't related to that. Just one was an electrical issue and another was an exterior fire. I don't recall the cause of it. But generally, this time of year we start seeing those things occurring. And then, of course, next week, or in a couple of weeks, Thanksgiving. And
it's kind of like a week-long event at the Robertson household.
I wish. but we've had a...
Or does it start at the firehouse and then extend?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No, I was just going to say that we've had less deep fat fryer fires in the last few years, which is good. So folks should definitely keep being cognizant of the dangers of those.
You're not going to try it again, are you?
Oil.
You got it smooth out the first time. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you were so pleased. You got it out so clean.
I did. Didn't trip over my tongue. Yeah, so we don't see too many of those anymore.
I would think that either those that are incapable of it have already taken themselves out.
Yeah, they've tried it once or and they're not going to try
it again. Yeah, has the product or the manufacturer changed the design of the deep fryer so that it's a safer process now than what it was?
I haven't seen that, no. I think the air fryers are more popular, so maybe folks use those. But
that have to be a really big one, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Small turkey.
I haven't seen a really big one. Yeah, or you can just, you know, piece it out. One leg at a time.
Yeah. Oh, that would be delightful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You have a different kind of Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a leg.
Yeah.
Everybody will be happy
Jeez,
with that.
Jeez, it's the dreaded 10-legged turkey. Oh, man. I'm not sure I could handle this show now. Oh, that's too funny. Oh, boy.
But I don't know... if any of those deep fat fryers have changed their technology to be safer.
Well, it seems like there's a lot more folks that are inclined to doing the barbecue with the turkey. Also, if they're not going to do the traditional in the oven, that barbecuing is kind of replaced for a lot of folks.
Or smoking. A lot of people have smokers. But again, they're not all big enough. Although most turkeys aren't, you know, more than 30 pounds. Right.
How many 50-pound turkeys have you seen in the grocery store?
In the grocery store, not many.
That they would have. You'd take two people to drag it out, I think.
Yeah, I have helped with some turkey harvesting for one of the land trust projects out in Sunny Bray, and the turkeys there were 45 pounds.
Really?
And they had the auction.
It must be like a whole pillow full of feathers.
Yeah, they had an auction where they... recruited all these different chefs to prepare them in different ways, and as you'd pay your entry for the dinner, and then you'd, you know, get this variety of how it was prepared. And they were using the commercial kitchen in the Grange, and the turkeys were too big to fit, so they had to piece them out. 45-pound turkey is
45. Jeez,
is a huge thing.
Probably not using growth hormones.
No, just raised on the grass out there in Sunny Bray, or
well, kind of
Jacoby Creek.
Brings into question what's in the grass then, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
those things must have been monsters.
They were big.
Neighborhood dogs running in fear?
I think so.
Okay, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Holy Toledo, I hope they took pictures of these things before they sent them on their way.
That was a long time ago now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So now it's more myth than fact?
It's becoming that way.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe they weren't that big.
Yeah.
Misremembering.
Oh, gee.
Getting older.
Yeah.
But yeah, not many fires with air fryers.
Are you getting as many kitchen fires? I mean, that used to be a pretty big deal.
That hasn't really changed, unfortunately. But we don't get a high percentage here. That was actually the National Fire Academy's safety message for the year was just safety in the kitchen and paying attention.
Brown it, don't burn it.
Yeah. Yep. Pay attention, you know. Don't use those pans full of oil and fry things on the stovetop, because that's when you can get the fire's expanding, and often people will try to extinguish it with water, and that makes things worse. So.
Well, it's just a mess anyway.
Yes.
I mean, even if you do it right, it's kind of nasty, ugly.
Yeah. Most of the time, the fires we have in kitchens are for unattended food, where people put something on and...
Walk off,
forget about it. And, you know, I mean, we've had some pretty bad ones where people have completely forgotten about it and left the house for a while.
Well, that would be an impressive return.
Yeah, they come back. And
show up and everybody's there. And
yeah. It's pretty devastating.
Yeah, that... Devastating is a good word.
Yeah.
And then you have to go out and find whatever's for dinner, which would be really frustrating.
Yes, that would be insulting.
And you probably wouldn't want to go to the barbecue joint.
Probably not.
You didn't think we'd go downhill from yesterday, huh? Guess what? We're proving that maxim right now. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Sean Robertson. Try to get it together. What? Well, you got the furrowed brow and everything. You're serious now, huh?
Serious.
Oh.
Just trying to help.
There was a little research done during the break. What did Winston say, 86 pounds?
86-pound turkey. Yeah.
At least they named it properly. It was in London, Tyson.
Tyson
Foods, Tyson Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this might have been the one that got away.
Maybe.
Didn't get too far, though, apparently.
Yeah. Did they sell it, you know?
By the pound?
Let it run around? And
I wonder if it had 10 legs.
I probably did.
Yeah.
Since we talked about it, it was only sold in London. Who knows where it was raised?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we had cheap comments on that, too.
Yes, we did.
Are the holidays a time when you and the department are a little bit more concerned about what's going to happen, or is it a time when things kind of lighten up and loosen up a little bit professionally?
It's a bit of both. As far as incidents, there's definitely a bit more activity until the breaks when more folks are just staying at home, so things naturally settle down a little bit. But then, you know, like we've been talking about Thanksgiving, we have the cooking fires, and Christmas time, we have Christmas tree and candle incidents. So those are the seasonal things we're concerned about.
Does flocking a Christmas tree help it not to be as flammable as what it would be otherwise?
Yes.
Is it neutral? Other than looking different?
It's a type of retardant on the leaves, essentially.
So it's like a double retardant?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is less combustible.
Oh, whipping out the big words now, huh?
Well, it's not flammable, it's combustible.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Spontaneous combustion?
That can happen in Christmas trees, I believe. Especially if you have a lot of ornaments on them that, you know, may be edible or...
Oh,
then,
I see.
And then people forget
Cat attractive?
Cat attractive, yeah. That's a whole nother thing. Cats and Christmas trees.
You know, it would seem like there's a comedy sketch waiting to happen there.
I think we've seen a few of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, did you... Okay, so it's going to be another one of those shows. Did you hear where they were talking about doing Elf 2?
I did not.
And they wanted to bring back the same character, the same actor.
Yeah.
Turned down $29 million to jump in the green suit one more time.
Well, you know, when was that one made? In like 20 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, maybe he's just not ready for that level of physical comedy anymore.
Hmm. $29 million? I'd roll the dice.
Yeah. I don't know how many millions he already has. Like, I think we're speculating.
I could always donate it to a local fire department, couldn't I?
That would be very helpful.
See? So, yeah, there's reasons we all have to do it. I just realized I'm wearing a green shirt, too.
You are.
Yipes.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Hmm. Amazing what you find out about on the show, huh? Tuxedos and elves.
The biggest turkey. movies.
Just, you know, we're deeper and deeper on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the biggest concern going into the holidays? I know in the past it's been candles that get top heavy, or they're not adequately secured, or they, you know, you put them underneath the wreath, and you're somehow surprised that the wreath catches fire because there's flame underneath it.
Yeah.
I mean, are people still not considering things, or because there have been so many batteries substitutes now in the marketplace, are many people using live flame anymore?
Not as many, but we still see those things occurring. And I think the biggest concern is just when the seasons changed, and it's always from fall into winter because people are using heaters or fireplaces, and then we have the ornamentations for the celebrations for Thanksgiving and the holidays, and it's just new things that folks maybe haven't used in a while or don't think about the different considerations for home fire safety. People are getting sicker because of the season change, so we have the cold and flu and things like that going around. So
you're saying like muddled thought processes?
I'm not saying that.
But, yeah, but you're looking at me when you're saying it, so it's okay.
But yeah, just all of those changes are, you know, that's what happens every year. And even though it's predictable and we know of it, you know, folks just have to adjust. And that's why we try to just reinforce the safety messages and things like that.
Are there as many chimney fires now as there have been historically? Or people with fireplaces kind of understand... you got to have them cleaned out every once in a while. You don't burn wet wood. You know, some of the basic.
Yeah, I think people with wood stoves have the newer style. They're more efficient. They often have newer chimneys. I think we've talked about this before, in that we had the last big earthquake that affected Eureka. A lot of the brick chimneys fell down, and those were not rebuilt. In the most cases, if people had a wood stove, they just put in a regular pipe, metal pipe, and so. But I still see the, you know, the chimney inspectors cruising around, so they're still doing the work. But that's always a good thing before you start your regular winter heating. No matter what system you've got, is to have it inspected. But no, we don't seem to have as many as we used to.
Do masons automatically line the chimney now with a metal pipe?
I don't know.
When the chimneys are built?
I think that's part of the code, but I...
Oh, okay.
I'm just...
It would seem to make sense.
Yeah.
Just for safety as well as from some of the gases, you know, if everything isn't quite 100% dialed in.
Yeah, and there's, you know, clearance considerations and insulation and things like that. Because we've definitely been on fires where it's got a pipe in there and everything's in place, but the tolerances are too tight, and
the heat just transfers through.
Exactly, and then it burns the wood over time, and then at some point it will ignite.
Okay, I'm done.
You're done. Done with chimney fires.
Yeah, I think so. Do wood stoves have the same propensity as fireplaces for causing fires or being the source for an incident, I guess, for you guys to respond to?
Yeah, because often they'll just have creosote buildup.
So it's the same mechanism, it's just in a different format?
Yeah, often there we either see the heat and the creosote creating a condition where the pipe will separate and then the fire will get out.
Oh, really? Separate
just
vertically?
It'll find cracks in the lining or where the pipe overlaps itself.
The crimped areas?
Yeah, yeah. So we've seen that where it extends to the roof area, or it'll blow sparks out of the pipe itself.
Out of
the
top?
Chimney.
Oh, in the chimney itself, not out at the top.
Well, both. It'll blow out the top, and sometimes, it depending on the conditions, it could catch the roof on fire. But it's generally inside where... Anytime, just like water, anytime you get, you pierce the material, so you go through the roof or you're going through the ceiling, and there's some attempt to just build around that, you have those areas of weakness. And often, just like water, the fire will, when the heat will find a way through that. And if it's not done right, that's where we have the fire. So it's, you know, just, again, the inspection is important because the chimney inspectors can find that, or the stove. And
then you test for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. There are simple ways to do your cleaning, like just putting a wet newspaper in there, once or twice a year, and that condensation can shake out some of the creosote as well.
Oh, really? You just burn? That sounds weird. Burn some wet newspaper?
Yeah, that's often how we...
So the smoke?
How we used to deal with those fires. We just put a bunch of wet newspaper in there, and the steam would sometimes put the fire out in the chimney if we can get to it.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of the tricks.
Wow.
Otherwise, we had a device we'd put down into the chimney.
Called a hose?
Well, it has a special chimney nozzle on it. So it's just, if you use too much water, you're just going to make a big mess. And
well, I understand
we
that.
Try to minimize the damage, because often it's just a bit of buildup that's burning.
When it gets windy and people have fires, are there many situations where the wind will blow through and push the embers out into the living space?
No, that's pretty uncommon.
Okay, even with fireplaces?
Yeah.
That are open? Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with political advocate Sean Robertson.
Whoa.
Really? I know. I saved it up for the last.
Political advocate?
It's about as many syllables as I'd said up to this point. So you want to talk about the assessment?
Yeah. Humboldt Fire District, we currently have a benefit assessment up there. And
that's right. We got something here. I got like four of them.
Well, you, without mean you have several parcels.
Two.
Okay. Yeah.
I got one for me and then one for the company. Or I got two for me and then two for the company.
Right. Yeah, it's based on the county's land use code.
Oh.
And so every piece of property is assigned a unit of benefit. So one would be an unimproved lot, four would be a single family residence, and then it varies from there.
Things in between?
Yeah.
I think I filled it out and mailed it in.
Great. Thank you.
I think.
Yeah, so we have...
What's the timeline on that?
The ballots went out last week on the 31st, and they're due back by December 20th when we have a public hearing at 3 p.m. at the Humboldt Bay Fire Classroom.
So what happens at 3? You just announce the vote?
It's a public hearing, and then the votes are publicly counted by a third
party. Oh, really?
Yep.
One, 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 one.
Exactly, yeah. That's
the really? Like the old-fashioned way?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have a reader.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And
that might be fun just to show up and watch. I mean, when was the last time ballots were counted by hand?
Yeah, not too often.
No.
Yeah.
Just nostalgic more than anything else. Yeah, and with the liquor store across the street, you know, they have eggnog. We can make this whole thing quite the event.
They have eggnog?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have ice cream sandwiches there, too.
Oh, delicious.
Oh, you are aware of that.
Well, most places have ice cream sandwiches. It's a guest store special. Some other store has it.
Yeah.
Yeah, if folks have questions, they can visit our website. We have a dedicated page for it. And then we have, if they want to call our office at 441-4000, we're happy to answer any questions.
Do you have to ask for anybody special?
Nope. Just ask your question. Our Executive Secretary, Jenna Harris, is very knowledgeable and is able to help with any questions. And then you can also...
So what does it mean? An increase? happy with what's going on? What's the...
Basically, it's an increase because we're trying to plan for the future. The last assessment we did was 20 years ago in 2004. And with property taxes and the assessments we have been pretty flat in terms of growth. The district's costs as part of the JPA are going to increase as things go forward. And we're trying to do better planning with our reserve apparatus and facility upgrades.
Does this have anything to do with a new fire station in Cotton? Or would that be something totally unique?
Something totally separate. This is just for maintenance and to maintain the services that we're providing and in the district areas and as well as everywhere else in Humboldt Bay Fire.
With the district, does that only go to those areas that are within that jurisdiction, or is everything kind of put together in one pot
between the city and the money district? Specifically is just for the district, and it will benefit the district assets or facilities and apparatus, but then it will naturally be also part of the contribution to the JPA that the district makes. But none of the money that will be collected will go to the city, for example.
It will stays within the department.
Yeah, it's used for the district's needs. And again, the district is part of Humboldt Bay Fire, and that is a very unique and successful relationship.
86-pound turkey. I think we may have peaked at that one.
Yeah, that was good.
That was P-E-A-K, not P-E-E-K. For those spelling at home. Thanks for coming by, Sean.
Thank you.
I'll get it together for next Monday. See you then.